Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by all of our ads this week. I'm going to run through them. I want you to use these discount codes and get some free money in your pocket. We got BetDSI.com. Their promo code is TAKE10, TAKE10. You get a $10 free play. Do that right now. BetDSI.com, TAKE10, $10 free play. We also had MeUndies. MeUndies.com/take. It says Dave here, but it's take, right?
Yes, it's definitely take, and I'm definitely wearing MeUndies right now.
Perfect. So go to MeUndies.com/take, and you will get 20% off your first order. So do that. They are the most comfortable. I wear them all the time. They're the most comfortable underwear out there. We also had a couple new ads this week. We had the Movement Watches, MVMT Watches. You go to MVMTWatches.com/pardon, and they'll give you 15% off a Movement Watch. They're $95, 15% off. That ends up being like a $25 watch. Go to MVMTWatches.com/pardon. Do that right now. And then the final one, there's a home burglary every 13 seconds in America. Wow. Scary stat there I just put on you. Ring a security kit, ring.com, ring.com/pardon, $50 off. Save, you know what? If you're listening to this and you're a parent, like, your kid's probably looking at you like, Daddy, why did the robbers come and take all of my toys and take a shit in the middle of the floor and, you know, take mom's jewelry? Go to ring.com/pardon, $50 off. Save your loved ones.
Or you could just, like always, keep tabs on knowing where Titus Young and Johnny Manziel are, and then that would drop it down to, like, one robbery every 2 hours in the United States.
Now let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Friday, June 24th. NBA draft last night. Electric. There were some European guys picked. There were some skinny guys picked. There were some long guys picked.
There were some old young guys picked. Or yep. Young old, depending on which way you look at it.
Always be wary of the 23-year-old senior. What's yep. his deal? Has he just been beating up on the younger kids all his life?
Yeah, Perry Ellis retired.
The Perry Ellis jokes just never get old for you. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who had the best draft?
I'm going to go with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, I was going to say the Spurs, the Mavericks, and the Heat, no income tax.
That's very true.
You forgot that.
I did. Thanks for reminding me, though.
It was pretty, lackluster at the top of the draft. We knew that Simmons was going. We knew Ingram was going.
Can I be honest with you? I think that the NBA draft night is the most boring night of the sports year. I think the SB night is more electric than the NBA draft night.
Well, what happens with the NBA draft is you know who's going in the first few picks. There's maybe a little bit. I think last year there was a little bit of intrigue, some kind of shuffling it up top. Then you get to like pick 13 and you just don't know what you're picking anymore. And then you get to the second round when Adam Silver doesn't even have the dignity to stay there. He goes home and like tucks himself in bed at 9:30 at night. And then they start picking the guys from India and the guys from, you know, weird places in Europe. And those are the guys who, like we said, they're playing against chairs and shooting over brooms and you're getting highlight tapes where they're missing shots. Well, you know, they could be a prize, you know, and they all are compared in some way to Dirk Nowitzki. That's what you're picking in the entire second round.
They're a little bit raw, but with a little bit of work, they could be a less athletic Dirk.
I love Fran Fraschilla is my best because my favorite because he knows what he's talking about, but I'm pretty sure I could stand up there and be like the European expert and just say those kind like the buzzwords over and over. Like he's raw. He's a lot like Porzingis. He's a poor man's Dirk, a rich man's Porzingis. If he can put on 20 pounds, get a little bit more of a handle, be aggressive, stop playing the Euro ball style. He could be something in the NBA.
Yeah, how mad do you think that Mel Kiper and Todd McShay are, like, sitting at home watching the NBA draft analysis, and they only have to memorize, like, you know, probably 50 guys information?
Yeah.
Like, the binder that McShay has is, like, 20 times as thick as the guys on the NBA draft. Yeah, I can't get behind it, man, because besides the Spurs, okay, here's one thing I know about the NBA draft.
Yeah.
It's all meaningless once you get past number, like, 7.
Yep.
Except when the Spurs pick. Then when the Spurs pick, you're like, that's a classic pop pick, and he could really make this work.
It's some guy from Argentina, and they're like, whoa, all right, okay.
This could work out. Classic pop.
Fit him in the system.
You guys are saying this, but I'm just here to let you know. The Celtics drafted their future championship captain, Gershon Yabusele, from France. So.
Say that again?
Gershon Yabusele.
God bless you.
We're going to the seven play highlight package they showed after he got drafted. I mean, it was.
Were there any layup line highlights?
There was a gym with no one in it. He was shooting over a broom.
Love it. Yep. You got it. You need the layup line when he's like, oh, yep. He can do a layup line with his, you know, his sweat still on. Hank, because you obviously you're a Celtics fan, you had a bunch of picks. How would you rate the Celtics draft?
Right now, not well. But the thing with Danny Ainge is that even though it doesn't happen, you always think he's going to trade for a million people because they always just have picks.
Yeah. The Celtics have the most average guys in the NBA. They have like 15 average guys.
It's they're the next Spurs.
Yo, there you go. That's a good way to look at it.
Spin it. I love it. That's there you go. That's a spin. I have a question for you, okay. PFT. Is Brandon Ingram racist to fat guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't give a shit. I told you about the NBA draft. Like, yes, yes, he's racist to fat guys.
Okay, well, here's my problem, right? So they drafted Brandon Ingram, and he's probably like 130 pounds. He's a beanpole. And they all say, well, he'll put on weight, he'll put on weight, he'll put on muscle. Why aren't they drafting really fat guys and saying, well, he'll lose the weight, he'll lose the weight, like he'll get in shape? That seems unfair.
When they drafted Kevin Durant, he couldn't even bench 135 pound once.
Correct.
Right? So and that didn't really work out too. How many? Remind me again. How many championships have the Thunder won?
That's zero.
Yeah. So I agree with you. Draft. You know, if you can get a clone of Big Country Reeves every year.
Yeah.
Or like Big Baby. You know, I would build my team. I'd do the opposite. You always gotta switch it up. The Warriors got good by doing the opposite of everybody else. They went small. There's going to be a swing soon. You want to get out in front of that and just draft the fattest team possible.
And tell them not to get in shape. That's my point.
Yeah.
It just seems unfair to me that fat guys, they don't get the benefit of the doubt. Oh, they'll work themselves in shape. No, you never hear that. But you always hear the, oh, yeah, he'll put on 20 pounds of muscle.
I did see an interesting take out there today on Deadspin. They were saying that the NBA draft is immoral because it forces players to go play for teams and cities that they might not have chosen on the free market.
Oh, slaves.
Yeah. Well, we're getting pretty close. I actually wrote a take about that like a year ago with the NFL draft saying it's basically slavery. It's a real steamy take.
Okay.
So I'm glad to see Deadspin finally catching up to me on that front. You know, it's like a year and a half later. But I think with more thinking like this, we're going to see players who maybe try to boycott the draft, maybe burn their draft cards. Do they have draft cards? Is that a thing?
They do. They get drafted and they get handed a draft card.
Yeah, we're going to have a bunch of Jane Fondas up there, a bunch of Muhammad Ali's, heaven forbid.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Rip Kimbo Slice. Yeah. You got to throw that in. They died at the same time. They're both.
Yeah, monsters. And Harambe.
You always remember them together. The most ridiculous thing that was said tonight, Rhys Davis. Did you guys hear this? He said some people call the Suns America's team.
All right,
totally serious.
Cut out for a second.
He said this, some people call the Suns America's team.
Why? Because they haven't won a war in like 30 years? They haven't done anything important recently?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is like maybe the people who live on like in Mexico on the border of Arizona are like, oh yeah, that's America's team right over there. And they're like pointing to the Suns. They're pointing to the Suns arena. They're like, that's America's team.
You remember when we had Kaminsky and Hawes on the show and we asked them if they could name a single player on the Suns and they took like 30 seconds to think of one?
Yep. But I think we should roll with it. I think part of my take should become Suns fans, and because we love America, and if they're America's team, they're America's team.
I was a big Dan Marley guy.
I Thunder Dan, absolutely. Thunder Dan.
He's got a couple bars and restaurants in the greater Phoenix area. Good margaritas. Yeah. I'm talking myself into being a Suns fan already.
Okay, America's team. We're in
Kevin
it.
Johnson, Kevin Johnson is truly America's leader. What a great guy that guy is. Like that's a dude I can put my name
KJ.
Behind.
Yep. He's a mayor.
Real success story. He went from, you know, not having a great education, playing in the NBA, and now guess what? He's one of our most respected leaders.
Yep. He's in politics and he's killing it. So America's team.
Spurs. I mean Suns.
Suns. You already forgot America's team. Come on, man. We'll bleep that part. I have one more thing before we get to our daily Mount Rushmore, because it is summer and there's not a lot to talk about. Little quick sabermetrics. We're not analytics guys. We're not stats guys. We're sabermetrics guys. 1.3 million people at Cleveland's parade.
How many people live in Cleveland? Do we know?
I don't know. But that's – I love parade.
Did they let the jails out?
I love parade dick measuring contests. I like get off on that. Every time a team wins – they'll have the aerial picture, and then people will say, well, if you saw the Heat or you saw the Spurs, look at how Cleveland parties. It basically is – they're basically bragging that all these people in Cleveland either don't have jobs or they're not responsible enough to go to their job and keep making a living. They're out in the streets eating shit, and that's 1.3 million people. So congrats. Well,
I just did a little sabermetrics of my own, looked it up. Population of Cleveland – 390,000. So, you know what that tells me? That tells me that Cleveland is like the new Boston Red Sox, pink hat wearers,
bandwagoners,
bandwagon fans. Yep. Cleveland's the new it town to go to. You know, I'm already sick of these guys and their big heads. I'm done with Cleveland.
Sabermetrically speaking, 3/4 of that crowd wasn't from Cleveland.
That's disgusting.
Gross. Puke.
I've got another sabermetrics for you real quick.
Okay.
We got time for one more?
Yeah. Let's do it.
The Cubs' magic number after swept by the St. Louis Cardinals at home is 83 still. It's still 83.
I went to all three of those games. That really sucked. They're about to lose again tonight. So, So I think we're – wait. I'll tell you right now. This is actually live sabermetrics. You hearing this?
Breaking news.
We lost, so our magic number is still 83. Actually, I don't know if the Cardinals and the Pirates lost, but we'll say it's 83. All right, let's quickly do our Mount Rushmore. What do we have today? We're doing Mount Rushmore of mountains, right?
I thought we were going to do Mount Rushmore of numbers.
Oh, okay, let's do Mount Rushmore of numbers. So, just so everyone knows, if you missed last episode, summer gets a little slow on the sports talk, you know,
not for us.
Circuit, but not for us. We are here. We're going to make the debate. That's an old journalist trick for you there. If there's not a lot to talk about, you make the debate yourself, and then you tell everyone that you're just embracing the debate. So the debate today, Mount Rushmore of numbers. Let's hear it.
Okay, my Mount Rushmore numbers is pretty simple. I've got 420 on there.
Yeah, nice.
Great number. 69. That one was like, obviously, 69. The number 8. I'm a big 8 guy.
Crazy 8s.
Always been my number. You got Kirk Cousins. Delly wears number 8. All around solid. It's an even number. Real easy to divide. Then my fourth Mount Rushmore of numbers is infinity.
Okay. You want mine?
Yeah.
Mine are 23. Greatest. Whatever.
LeBron. Yep.
Yep. LeBron James. Greatest of all time. 23. I'm a big number 1 fan.
Number 1 is such a try hard number.
Okay. All right. Huge 00 fan.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Love the 00s. That's on my Mount Rushmore. Baby. Yeah. And then my final number, infinity plus 1.
You dick.
Boom.
That's not a number. That's not a number. That's an equation. You can put that on your Mount Rushmore of equations.
Okay. Oh, we'll do that later. Do I have to pick another one?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually like the number 99.
Okay.
Kind of cool. Like when a guy puts 99, you know they're kind of a badass. Like Dennis Rodman.
I agree.
I like the number 17 because Lil Wayne's from the 17th ward of Louisiana, New Orleans.
You relate to that,
yep.
right?
Yeah,
yep. it's like Scituate, Mass.
Near and dear to my heart. I like the number 4.
Ooh, that's a whoa, Hank out of left field 4. Okay.
I like the number. I like the number 12.
These are just insane picks.
No, I know why he picked 12. It's for Tom Brady.
And I like the number 100 because I like to keep it 100.
Oh, that's right,
that's good. It's good. So vote online.
Yep.
Who had the best Mount Rushmore of numbers?
We're gonna do a Twitter poll. No. The Twitter poll is gonna be. Give us some time with the Twitter poll because it's gonna take us some time to tweet. But we're gonna tweet as many numbers as we can, and then you just vote, and we'll do a bracket style, and we'll figure out what are the 4 best numbers in the world.
Who's now of numbers?
Yes. The bracket style competition to see who makes the Mount Rushmore of top 4 numbers.
Numbers, yeah. So make sure you tune in for that. Hey, we know how to keep it hot in the summertime, and I'm not talking about the temperature. all right, let's go to our friend Michael Rappaport for a spirited debate about a wrap up of the NBA final. He was depressed. So just a warning, he's still depressed because LeBron won, and then I made him a little more depressed when I told him. Gave him the handbook for Derrick Rose fandom. So here is our good friend Michael Rappaport. You know where I'm going to start.
I reached out to you. You said you were going to give me a tutorial on what's going to go on with Derrick Rose.
No, that's not where I want to start. I'm going to get to that.
Oh, what do you want to get to? Fucking Steph Curry? What do you want to do? Unpick the wound that I've been recovering from?
We want an official apology to the Part of My Take podcast because we were right about Steph Curry and you were wrong.
Now, specifically what?
He's annoying. Yeah. And not good.
Front runner.
Annoying and not good.
And that his family is annoying too.
Yeah, his family is worst. And his shoes suck.
Well, the shoes, that version of the Under Armour shoes were way out there. I don't know. What the fuck was going on?
We bought them.
I mean, even.
I'm literally wearing them right now.
Yeah.
The white on white ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, what are you guys now? You got your heads up LeBron James's ass now?
I can't hear. What'd you say? What'd you say? LeBron just farted. What'd you say?
Yeah. You got your head stuffed up his ass, right? Did you see those animals in Cleveland? I saw this clip of this guy at the Cleveland parade. He looked like he was like related to Steven Adams. For some reason, during the parade in Cleveland, this guy, he's like, looked big, like 6'8", 6'9", big white guy, like probably like 260 pounds. During the middle of the parade, this is online, stopped, started yelling at people, picked up horse shit.
Yep.
And started eating it.
You know what you sound like right now? You sound like a guy You sound like a guy that went to BYU that goes to his first real college party. He's like, did you see what those guys were doing?
So
they were
scary.
Pouring beers into a funnel and then drinking them fast. Like, it's called a parade, Michael.
Yeah. They had a ski out. They had a ski and there were shots on it and they were taking shots at the same time. I wanted to go home. Oh, hey, Rappaport, let me ask you a question. You ever had a bite of shit before? So
no, man. Wait, what is that? They do that shit in the Midwest? Like they do that shit in Chicago when the Bulls won, when the fucking Blackhawks win a championship?
Listen, when the Cubs win their first World Series in over 100 years, I get at least a week to eat as much shit as I want to eat. Listen, without anyone.
Well, shit is actually like a Cleveland delicacy. That's like their
We're not talking about human shit. We're not talking about dog shit.
We're not sickos. It's horse shit.
Come on, man. Horses are beautiful animals.
Listen, that was – I don't know what the fuck that guy was on, what kind of bath salts he was on. But that was crazy. Just so you know, I'm doing this guest appearance on your podcast from a park here because I'm actually walking my dog. Well, he's off the leash now. He's just actually speaking his shit. He just took a shit. But I'm just here in the
park. You won't eat that. You won't eat it.
Hell no. I'm not man enough.
I know you aren't. I know you. You're not tough enough to eat your dog shit right now. Live on podcast. How are you honestly dealing? Because I know that you took the LeBron loss very, very hard. How are you dealing?
It killed me.
Yeah.
It fucking killed me. Well, we're a few days out, so it isn't as bad as it was, you know, obviously Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday. Listen, the better team won. You know, I talk shit about LeBron, but I never talk about him as a player. He's a fucking beast. They played great. You know, it came down to the last two or three minutes, and the Cavaliers were going forward, and Golden State was sort of, you know, standing still, like, you know, they weren't attacking. And it was a fantastic series. I loved it. It was dramatic, although the games weren't great. You know, the drama of it. I think just all, like, the online shit and the, you know, the sports fodder and the suspension and the dick kicks and all that stuff, it made it great. And then the Game 7 lived up to all the hype. I thought it was interesting that at LeBron James, when he had tried to dunk with, like, 5 seconds to go, he broke his wrist and then and healed it by the time he shot his second.
He's Wolverine. He's Wolverine.
I've never seen anybody do that before in my life. And yeah. and that, to me, I think is really interesting and need to be examined. But his wrist was broken. He shot one free throw and then it was healed. And now
never say anything bad about LeBron on the court.
I never say shit about him.
Yeah, right. No, I agree. I agree.
LeBron pulled an amazing move. Which was he fell to the ground, grabbed his wrist, and he started waving away the stretcher that wasn't even coming out onto the court yet for him. He was like, "No, I got this."
With his broken wrist.
Yeah.
And then that shit healed. But I honestly don't think that he was bullshitting, because he was down there for a long time, and obviously he was going to shoot those free throws. But I literally thought he broke his wrist with 5 seconds to go. And you know, he wanted that dunk to go down so bad, because that would have just been – it would have been even worse for people like me than it was. So listen, the Warriors, they fucking lost. You know, they didn't go through the scrutiny the way it normally happens. Normally you get scrutiny on the way up and then you persevere and you win a championship, you win your MVP, and so on and so on. They sort of are doing it backwards. They went up the thing, two MVPs, two championship runs, blah, 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 blah. And now they got to go through the fire. And you know, it's not the normal path. But, you know, I'm a Knicks fan. Listen, but I really enjoy that Golden State team. And now they, you know, I think they'll learn from their mistakes and all the other bullshit.
They will.
You know, but it killed me. It killed me. That shit killed me. It killed me. I haven't had that much pain watching a game since the Giants dethroned those cheating fucks in New England for that Super Bowl. Now, obviously, that worked out for me, but that game was that sort of pain to me. Like, that was like I was in agony during that game.
Can we get you and Ben Affleck to have just like a fuck off over Deflategate? Can we get him on the show?
He can't hold a fucking candle to me, especially if he's sober. He won't be able to touch me.
You think he was sober last night?
Oh, I think he was fucking, yeah, I think he was hopped up on you know, Gatorade and pure water. I think he was well hydrated. Yeah,
he did look like he looked like his face was very well hydrated.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked like, you know, the sprightly Ben Affleck. I like Ben Affleck. You know, I think his movies, especially the ones he directed, are good. But obviously, you know, those Boston
the ones he's not in.
Yeah.
The ones he directs, I mean, but The Town was dope. The Town is like a legitimate dope.
Geely. Yeah.
Did he direct Geely?
Yeah, I think so. Director, producer, actor.
Oh, he didn't direct Geely, did he?
No, I don't think so. All right.
But don't you think those Boston fans are angry white people with no lips? You notice that, like, they're rabid, angry white folk with no lips.
You have obviously not met our boss, because you would not say that if you met Dave.
Oh, why not? He's being facetious. He is the angriest, no lippest guy I've ever met. That part of the show was crazy. I'm so sick of Deflategate. I want to talk about why we brought you on. This is what happens with Deflategate. This is how it happened last night on Simmons' show. Like, you just get in the rabbit hole, and then all of a sudden, you could just talk about it forever. So that's the problem with Deflategate. So I'm saying no. We're done. Let's talk about the reason I brought you on this show. Derrick Rose is now a New York Knick, my team to your team. I want to first know what your instant reaction was, and then I'm going to give you the handbook. This is not just any old handbook. This is a handbook that's been cultivated for 8 years. I know Derrick Rose better than Derrick Rose knows Derrick Rose, and I'm nice enough. I consider you a friend. I'm going to give it to you. So first, give me your knee-jerk reaction.
I didn't have that big of a knee-jerk reaction because, you know, we always get the wounded warriors with the Knicks. Obviously, if Derrick Rose is healthy, even if he's not the MVP Derrick Rose, if he plays 70 games, 65 games, then it's a good trade. We got rid of Jose Calderon. They threw in a pack of cigarettes and a package of Snapple, Jose Calderon, and we got rid of Robin Lopez, Jerry and Grant, who I still think has potential.
I
think that if he is healthy, I think it's a good trade. I think that so that was you talk about knee jerk. That was my knee jerk.
You know, now, the big if is
I'm afraid this fucking guy's gonna twist his ankle at the press conference.
Right. He already did, actually.
If he had a reaction, he would be out for 6 to 8 months.
Oh, yeah. No, if he had a canker sore, it'd be like at least a month.
Okay. Here's – you ready for the handbook?
Shit. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. First, it's a question. Who is the best knee doctor in the country?
I believe he's in Los Angeles, but we could work that out.
Okay. His name is actually Reggie Rose. He's Derek's older brother. And when Derek gets hurt, Reggie is going to tell Derek when he can come back, when it's appropriate, how he's going to rehab. Now, the Knicks doctors, they don't get a say in this. So just know that. Like, it's basically Reggie Rose and BJ Armstrong. BJ Armstrong is also another big one that you're going to have to deal with. So you're getting Derek and that posse, okay?
What does BJ Armstrong have to do with it? He's down with Derrick Rose?
Yeah, he's in his circle. Right. So
fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do you like dunks?
Yes, I love dunks. Who doesn't
like
dunks?
I do too. Derrick Rose doesn't dunk. He can't dunk anymore. He dunked once last year. And it wasn't even a dunk. He like lightly put it over the rim.
Oh, fuck me, man. Okay, what else you got?
All right. Do you like your athletes being able to talk somewhat eloquently and not put their foot in their mouth all the time?
I don't give a shit about that. I like that. But I feel okay. Like when Derrick Rose is misunderstood, I totally get him.
Okay, so I agree with you.
All the things that he said, you know, quote unquote wrong, and all the miscommunications, I read between the lines. So I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, that's fair because I actually agree with you. I've always had Derrick Rose back in that respect. He's not the best. You know, he's not the best guy when he's in front of the media. He's going to, you know, miss some games and then say that he wants to be at his son's graduation. So he's got to take his time getting back, even though he's making $20 million and he's a professional athlete. That's going to happen.
These things happen.
But it's not me. It's not the two of us. Like, we're rational guys. We know what Derrick Rose is saying. It's the New York media is going to eat him alive when he does that.
Completely.
Okay.
Completely. So I understand that. Go ahead. Okay. What else you got for me?
All right. Do you like arc on your 3-point shots?
Yeah. Who doesn't? Arc. Yeah. Arc's fantastic. Okay. Steph Curry shoots a three. It's a thing of beauty. Yeah. What else? Is that great?
Fastball. Fastball. Fastball at the rim. Flat as could be. So
fuck me.
Get ready for that. Do you like jokes at your expense, even if they're not really related to anything that's going on?
No, not really, no.
Okay. Yeah, because anytime anyone gets injured in any sport ever, there's a Derrick Rose joke to be made. And I don't know if you saw, but they've already released Derrick Rose's new uniform. It's just a suit. And that over and over and over and over and over and over. I feel like Marshawn Lynch. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. Everyone's back before Derrick Rose. The jokes are endless. I've become numb to them, but there was a time where I was like genuinely upset about them. I got pissed. So that's the handbook. Now, on the good side, I'm actually, believe it or not,
there's got to be some good pages to the handbook. You can't. Yeah. You're not sending me a bag of shit here. We're talking about a former MVP. He was good for your team. Where's your loyalty?
Yeah, I actually am a Derrick Rose fan. I'm just giving you the bad news first. The good news is, he actually had a quietly good year after his eye fixed up. So
last year.
Yeah, he broke
his eye. Was messed up.
He broke his eye in preseason, which was something else. That was a fun tweet. That's the other thing is Rap. You're gonna be on Twitter and just randomly you'll start getting tweets being like, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry," and you just instinctually know Derrick Rose got hurt.
Fuck me, man. You still haven't get one good thing about this.
Okay, all right. All right. I think he had a better year than people realize after his eye cleared up. I do think it's a low risk, high reward. You're never going to get him back all the way. But if you can get like 75% of Derrick Rose back, then you're right. It was a good trade. So you got to make that trade if you're the Knicks. Just know you're also going to do this thing in your head. And this is something I've wrestled with for literally 8 years or whenever 6 years, whenever after he got his first injury. Derrick Rose will have a good game or he'll do a Derrick Rose thing and you'll say to yourself, ooh, Derrick Rose is back.
Right.
And he'll come out and he'll shoot like 2 for 15 and turn the ball over and play awful defense and you'll be like, oh. And then he won't play the next game because his hamstring's a little tight.
The turf toe.
Yeah.
Everything you're telling me makes perfect sense for what the New York fans are used to and programmed to accept.
You know what? I've got a theory about Derrick Rose. I think there might be like a Thon Maker situation going on there. I think maybe Derrick's actually 35.
Yeah.
Huh. So it's just his body breaking down. Like if he had been allowed to play in the NBA when he was much younger, he would have had like 10 good years out of him.
Yeah.
Yo, man, let me tell you something. My expectations and New York Knicks fans' expectations we're so demoralized and so beaten down. I can't even name... And this is fucked up. I can't even name six guys that are on. Maybe I can name six guys now that are on our roster right now. But it's like every season, you know, like remember when you were like the fifth or sixth grade, you had a spelling bee and you had to like learn, you know, 10 words. That's like the New York Knicks roster. It's like these people, they're interchangeable. And this fucking guy, Derek Williams, put himself in the free. Like, is anybody's going to go out of their way to get his fucking ass? He's this guy. He got robbed last year by a stripper.
That's always a bad thing to happen to a guy on your team.
And listen, then he's got the balls to sign himself up for free agency. Who the fuck does he think he is?
I have a little silver lining for you, okay? You ready for this?
Give me something. I heard you call me, you asked me to call. I thought you were gonna give me good news.
I got a silver lining for you. One, what? Dwight Howard might come to New York and he's a good fantastic team guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
he's fucking great.
Dwight and Carmelo on the team—that would be amazing.
Tell me you wouldn't like
Sotomayor a team back there too.
Dwight Howard, Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony. Whoa, talk about some fucking all stars, bro.
That's a big three, man.
Are they talking about? Are they this just the Dwight Howard thing? But they're talking. He's talking about to every team now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
he's talking about the media eating somebody. Yeah. He'll be so confused by the media in New York.
Yes. Here's your backup, though. I got a better one for you. They're talking about Joakim, who I love and I always will love, and Pau Gasol. So you're going to get Joakim, Pau Gasol, and Derrick Rose. So you're basically going to get the Bulls team that could never beat LeBron just 5 years later. So that was
motherfucker.
I got a question. As a new New Yorker, is it normal for me to see guys just like jerking off outside Madison Square Garden?
Nah, I mean, that's not as normal as you might see a guy taking a shit in broad daylight.
Okay, oh, that's going to be a thing?
Yeah, okay. But that, you know, you just, you know, you don't make eye contact and keep it moving. You'll be fine.
Was there anybody that, like, walks behind that dude and, like, picks up his shit and eats it?
That I haven't seen.
Oh, that wow. I haven't seen.
Bad sports town.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Garden yet?
I've been by it. I saw a guy jerking off outside of it. That told me all I needed to know.
Jesus Christ.
He's going to sign him to a 10-day contract. No, all right. Wait, I just want to say that I actually still love Derrick Rose, so I was giving it to you bad. I think it's a good trade for you, and you don't want Pau Gasol. He's trash. Joakim is worth it. What else you got cooking? What else you got going on? Well, you got anything you got to get off your chest?
Nah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm I was beaten down this week. This was a rough week for me.
You sound down. You sound down.
I'm walking my dog. I'm good. It cooled off. There was a heat wave in Los Angeles. You know, everything's. I'm gearing up for fantasy football. That's my next sort of focus in life is fantasy football.
Oh, you want to
see experts at fantasy football?
Yeah. You guys are?
Yeah. You want sleeper? You want a couple sleepers? We'll rattle them off for you. Ready?
Yeah, rattle them off. Go slow, though. I got to write it down.
All right, write it down. Dez Bryant.
All right, I got another one. Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
This is sleeper. Can you bleep that out? Because I don't want anyone else to hear that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going to put up some numbers.
Okay. Give me one more.
Look out for Julio Jones. I think that this is going to be his breakout year.
Yep.
Do you guys don't fuck with fantasy?
No, I do. I draft Danny Woodhead every year.
He's good.
That's really all I care about. As long as Danny's on my team, I'm good.
Where do you draft him? Like third? Like is he like your third running back?
No, because I don't want him to. No, he's my number one running back. I got him, John Kuhn, Rex Burkhead, a lot of really solid guys back there. Toby Gerhart, a lot of the coach's son type guys.
What about in all seriousness, who do you think is going to be the running back out of the draft? Do you think Ezekiel Elliott's going to do something?
I think if he can ever learn how to wear a shirt properly, that's step number one.
Yeah, you got to put some clothes on, asshole.
Yeah, asshole.
Yeah.
Put some clothes on.
I think he'll be okay. I think he's going to put up like bare minimum, at least, you can quote me on this, at least 200 yards this year.
At least.
Yep.
For the whole year. All right. That's cool. That's cool.
I don't know if we
went to the bank.
I don't know if we've talked about this, but I play fantasy, but my problem is it's not enough. There's not enough like at stake. So I want to start, and you're invited if you want to be in this league, a pinky league. Loser has to cut off their pinky.
See, that's when you start getting into it.
Yes.
That's when shit becomes real.
Yeah, you in?
Because I don't have enough. I don't have enough confidence in my skill to give up a pinky. Like if you're talking about pinky toe, I could get into that. But
pinky toe.
I still got a career. You know, I got to be in front of a camera, and you know, it's hard enough. You know.
Yeah, and if they need like a tough guy or like a guy who's in real big gambling debt for any role, guess what? You're the first call.
I'm the first pick, but then I'm hedging my bets with that shit.
But don't you have to stand out? Yeah, you have to stand out in Hollywood, right? You'd be the first nine finger actor.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
But other than that, honestly, like you know, like as far as sports, like you know, the draft, the NBA draft. I see you guys just got Denzel Valentine.
Yep, love it. Got to fix this grill, but I love it.
Yeah, well, there's a few guys in there. I love Buddy Hield.
Yep.
We got to do something about his.
I like Ben Simmons. I like Brandon Ingram.
I like Buddy because you can't hate a guy named Buddy, no matter how bad he fucks up. It's like, oh, that's Buddy.
Yeah, he's always going to be your buddy. And I mean, he's got some of the greatest teeth in sports history.
He does. You know what
those
my problem
teeth,
with Buddy Hield?
You can't say teeth.
You don't say the T word, please. Did you notice I said grill for Denzel Valentine? Please don't say the T word on this
Why?
Show.
Why?
Just we it don't just, do
it's inappropriate.
It excludes parts of our audience. Some people
no
don't
doubt.
Have T's, so
no
we don't
doubt.
Say it.
We gained no a lot of listeners from Kentucky earlier this week.
I
we
hear
did
you.
This
you don't
want to
make anybody feel bad.
Right. You leave people out and they stop subscribing, so we don't say the T word anymore.
No doubt, no doubt. Yeah, because when you say grill, it's open, it's an open space.
Right. You don't know. It's kind of like a street thing. People are like,
no doubt.
What does that mean? Right. All right. My only problem with Buddy Hield is his accent. You can't talk shit with that accent. He just sounds like he wants to smoke a joint. He wants to blaze a bone.
Yeah, he got that Caribbean accent.
Yeah.
And he's got his fronts. I don't even know if it's an accent. I think the teeth.
No, yeah, come on.
Come on. Dude.
We'll bleep it out. Hank, can you bleep that out? Rap, thank you very much. We will talk to you. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, later. Don't eat any shit, okay? I'm afraid he didn't hear me there. He might go and eat some shit.
He might be eating shit as we speak.
All right, let's get into some segments. Finish the week strong. Let's start with a Stay Classy. It's from my favorite organization in all of sports, the St. Louis Cardinals. Jason Isringhausen, who I just screwed
Wait,
up his
what?
Name. I don't care. Jason Isringhausen, there we go, tweeted out during the Cavaliers parade, is it just me or representing your organization and your town during championship parade with no shirts on show much class. That was word for word. I didn't screw that up.
I mean, I understood what he was saying because, like, that he was going for a take. And sometimes when you're writing a take, you just add in a bunch of unnecessary words. But I know we all know what he was meaning. J.R. Smith could stand to put a shirt on. So stay classy, J.R. Smith. I guess just because you won a championship, I guess you can be a stripper now and you can just take off your shirt.
J.R. Smith went to a golf course without a shirt on today or on Thursday, which was fantastic. I like what J.R. is doing. He's so committed to it. And I have a question for you. If J.R. Smith didn't have tattoos, you think people would be upset? I think people are a little upset about the tattoos.
They wouldn't give a shit. I don't recall Jason Erzring Harrison saying, like, stay classy, Brandi Chastain. You know, that was fine when she did it. I think it's less about the tattoos and more about the fact that he's a man with his shirt off. Because when a woman celebrates by taking her jersey off and she's in a sports bra, nobody says anything. But when a guy does it, it's like, oh, we got to rush and persecute the men. JR actually reminded me of another – there was another guy who used to take his shirt off during speeches. His name was Mussolini. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. Good buddies with Hitler. Just putting that out there.
Pals. Pen pals with Hitler. And then we also had – I don't even want to give this guy – you know, well, whatever. We'll do it. Mark Dice. I don't even know who he is. He seems like an InfoWars guy. I think I have that right. Because I looked at his Twitter for a second and there was like – you know, racism towards white people is real kind of thing going on. So, but he had some hot takes about the parade as well. He said, if your primary source of joy is watching dudes bounce around a ball, I feel so sorry for your miserable and meaningless life. And then he said, when your heroes bounce a ball around, you're as easily entertained as a dog. Snap out of your trance before it's too late. I mean, no offense, Mark, but I'd love to have it be a dog. Like that's a pretty that's sweet a great life, point. My friend.
Yeah, yeah. I don't recall the last time that dogs started wars against each other.
Yeah, well, have you ever seen a like sad dog, a really really sad dog? Very rarely.
Yeah, I mean only in those Sarah McLachlan commercials, which right. I always skip those. Yeah, I'm shocked that he didn't.
No, those are the ones with the. Oh no, the Sarah McLachlan is. I was thinking of the ones where they show like the little African kids, and there's like a. There's a mosquito on their eyeball, and that's always sad too.
No, the Sarah McLachlan ones is like, hey, let's pay attention to dogs.
Yep, yep.
And it's like a dog with no feet.
The other ones are basically
just no feet.
The other ones are basically like if you could spare a dime a day, you could save 300 children, and then you just mute the TV or turn the channel. So,
well, I just don't deal with change. Like if they said if you could spare a dollar a day, I'd be more right. likely to do that. When you start right. getting down to like small denominations of currency, you lose me immediately.
I
throw change. Into the trash. Just so
I walk away. I walk away from anything under 50 cents. Yeah. Just walk away. No matter where I am. Walgreens. I'm like, oh, you don't have a tip jar at Walgreens? What the hell?
Seriously? If you carry around coins, you look cheap.
Yeah, it's true. So to finish Mark Dice, he then also had this one that he retweeted himself. This is how good he thought it landed. Too bad people don't hold a parade like this to thank police for protecting their communities instead of honoring b-ball players.
They do. It's called National Night Out, and it happens every single year, literally. So I don't know if – maybe Mark Dice it doesn't participate in police parades. So shame on him if that's the case. But why doesn't he start his own police parade?
I respect a man who's this much of a party pooper. You know, if you – there's people who are just – I don't know. They're grumpy. They're not happy. But they can get a little joy out of sports, or you'll be like, okay, that was cool. If you can watch the Cleveland Cavaliers win a championship, the first championship in over 50 years for Cleveland, watch all these people euphoric dancing in the streets and immediately said they're, you know, idiots and in a trance and a bunch of dog brains. I actually kind of like you because that's a commitment to being such a fucking asshole.
Sounds like a blast at parties. And he didn't even go to the furthest extent, which is referencing the dude that picked up a piece of shit. And ate it off the ground at the Cavs. You remember when we talked about this a couple days ago? Like,
yeah.
The Cavs aren't going to know what to do, how right. to celebrate a championship. We could have speculated that they would pick up horse shit off the street and eat it, toss it in their mouths like it's popcorn. And people would have been like, that's going a little bit too far. That's not going
to
happen.
Right. And that guy, like you said, the Cavs fans, the Cleveland fans didn't know what to do. That guy probably thought that was food. Because he's just so upside down. He's been partying for so long. He's like, oh, I need nutrients. Let me pick up this big pile of green horse shit.
And there were dudes like climbing buildings, like verging on the very precipice of death to celebrate the Cleveland Cavaliers champion. And honestly, if you die during your team's championship, not the worst way to go. We talked about this a while ago. Like, if we had died on Grit Week at the top of our game, I would be okay with that. So if you're a Clevelander and you die during the celebration of your first championship, I don't even think that's a Jimbo. I think that you're going to be – they're going to build a statue for you.
Well, and you're remembered as part of – you're basically part of the team at that point. People will remember you forever as part of the Cleveland Cavaliers championship. So that's a good way to go.
They're going to build a statue, and then they'll put a ring on that statue. And then another 50 years, when you win again, someone's going to climb up on the head to watch the World Series parade, fall off.
Die, split their head, boom, like a watermelon, blood, brains everywhere, another statue.
Stay classy.
We have Talking Soccer. This is a quick one. There was a game in Sweden, I believe, where a soccer player got a red card for farting during the game. So that was Talking Soccer.
Yeah, okay.
You can't fart during a soccer game. Everyone knows that.
It's a beautiful game.
Yeah, you don't do that shit. It's a classy game, okay?
They can spray aerosol directly into your butthole to cure you of a hamstring pull, but you can't fart that aerosol out later.
I love that soccer has that. Those guys, I don't even know what they're spraying. They come out, they start spraying all kinds of shit everywhere, and it's like, boom, you're all set.
The military should get some of those spray cans.
We should give Robert Griffin III a shower in that spray.
We should buy Robert Griffin III an aerosol can of the month club membership and just have
soccer aerosol month of the club. Love it. There you go, Cleveland. We're just helping you left and right today.
That was Talking Soccer.
Yeah, that was Talking Soccer. We have a Manziel, AKA PR 101. We're synonymous.
Dan, I got to say, let me stop you real quick. You're being a little lackadaisical in introducing these segments. We need to anchor these segments. So, let's say with some conviction.
It's a Manziel. We have a Manziel.
A PR 101 for Johnny Manziel.
AKA PR 101. We have a Manziel. That's what I'm calling it from now on. He got in a car accident, but the other person ran. Kind of crazy. Johnny Manziel gets in a car accident and the other person's a scumbag. Who would have seen that coming?
Yeah.
Or he might have just sideswiped someone when he was drunk and then reported it 4 days later and said the other person ran.
Here's how you know that it's fake. If he comes out and he says, it was a big black guy, and then he carved a big O into my forehead for Obama and then ran away. That's how you know he's lying. That happens every year.
Can I just give a simple, simple PR 101 for Johnny Manziel? Just stay in Dallas, because I'm pretty sure the police don't do anything to get you in Dallas. You get hit by a car and then you walk into the station 4 days later. Is that really what happened?
Yeah, the Dallas Police Department is historically very thorough at all sorts of high profile crimes.
Right. Does the Dallas Police Department just think that Johnny Manziel's on the Cowboys? Because they treat him like a cowboy.
That's actually a good point. I think they just love football. Hey, if you grew up playing outside while everybody else was in air conditioning in the state of Texas, then you get a little bit of leeway. And I think that's kind of appropriate. I think that Johnny Manziel needs to say that he is retiring from football. He needs to file paperwork. Files paperwork, says he's retiring from football to go hunt for aliens like Tom DeLonge from Blink-182.
Yes.
That might be a good distraction for Johnny. Another one, here's a silver lining to this. This is Johnny's fourth hit and run, right? Third, fourth, something like that.
Sounds about right.
At that point, he's owning it. He's like, I'm a hit and run guy.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
I just get involved in hit and runs. I hit, I run, I get hit, I get people running on me. It's just, he attracts the hit and run.
If you just have one hit and run, I feel like that's almost worse than if you have seven hit and runs.
Yeah, it's true. It's just a kind of a random occurrence. But now that's just Johnny's deal. He just finds himself in hit and runs. I have a little idea for him.
Okay.
He played baseball. I think he got drafted by the San Diego Padres, right?
That sounds right.
Okay. Retire from football, play baseball, come back to football, win three Super Bowls, call it the Michael Jordan.
That'd be perfect. I would love that. I would love to see Johnny Manziel riding around on a AAA bus.
I don't think he'd be in AAA, but yeah, he'd be wherever he would be.
Wherever. I just want to see Johnny Manziel on a bus so that he's not hit and running anybody. Like, the bus that he was on would probably get involved in hit and runs.
Also, baseball, kind of more his speed. Baseball players, you know, they can drink during the game. They can treat it like a softball game. Johnny Manziel should go to Major League Baseball and then treat it like co-ed softball and just booze during the entire game. That way he's being productive and he's still doing all the stuff he wants to do.
I think that Johnny Manziel is a baseball man trapped in a football guy's body.
That's exactly right.
That's so, exactly right. And you know, another great thing about this is, you know, we talk about it being Mount Rushmore season, but it's also quarterbacks getting into car accidents.
Yes, my favorite.
Love
Joe Flacco lost both his legs. An old lady hit him with an Audi.
No, he died. He died.
Oh, he died.
They kicked it up a notch this year.
Yeah.
It's usually like Drew Brees broke both of his legs in a car. Yeah. It's always a different quarterback every year.
They always break both their legs with an old lady, and it's usually like a foreign car because no one would believe it. No American would hit an NFL quarterback.
No, absolutely not. So I it's kind of nice to see that coming back a little bit. It's like, you know, you're finally home again. It's comfortable.
It's football's right around the corner when you get fake death tweets for all your quarterbacks.
It's like the first Robin of spring.
Yeah, or the first leaf of fall.
Yeah.
once we hear that Jay Cutler got blasted by an old lady when he was walking through a crosswalk and tragically died, that means, hey man, camp's right around the corner. Get the juices flowing.
All you idiots out there that say that thoughts and prayers don't work, when I heard Joe Flacco was in a car accident, I immediately sent thoughts and prayers. Now he's alive. So I don't want to take all the credit for it because I feel like there were a lot of people doing that. But, you know, I'm a big part of it, I think.
Absolutely.
Speaking of football players that trash rental houses, can we talk about Dez Bryant real quick too?
Yeah, what happened there?
So he was renting a house, and the landlord just repossessed it from him, and it was just totally trashed, and there were feces all over the house.
Okay, so this actually is a great segue. You rented a house to Dez Bryant, and it got trashed? You think?
No, duh.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, and I don't know what leaving feces all over a house looks like. Like, is that on the carpet, or is it just like he left a couple floors?
I think that's probably floor. I think that's walls as well.
Well, they also said, now this is a big part of the complaint against Dez, he repainted all the walls. I feel like that's almost worse than doing blow off every surface and like leaving blood.
Because you know he didn't do a good job. You know he didn't do a good job, and you know he probably painted them all black or something.
Didn't use any primer. I guarantee you Dez Bryant did not use primer.
Yeah.
By the way, Dez Bryant goes to the store and he fills his shopping cart up with things that look like, you know, Dexter's shopping trip, with like just painter's tape and just a shitload of
industrial cleaner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would get him on an FBI watch list pretty quickly, I think.
Might actually create a little tape, a little Home Depot tape that Adam Schefter gets his hands on and starts tweeting about that then never exists. People forget Adam Schefter swore that he had Dez Bryant's tape. And then it never happened.
Yep. So don't rent a house to Dez Bryant. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah. So, and then I have my other, you think? And here it is. It's a headline from Vice. Vice is always good for these. The headline reads, "Guys don't care about safe sex if the woman is hot, study says." You think?
No, duh. I mean.
Bro.
Doy. There's another one. ESPN is projecting that Buddy Hield, Simmons, and hang on, we'll cut this. I just had the tweet pulled up. Shit, where'd it go? I want to read it like verbatim here. Oh, got it. Okay, ESPN tweeted out, Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram, and Buddy Hield all expected to go early in the 2016 NBA draft. You think?
No, duh.
This is a great segment. This is an absolutely electric segment.
We get them sent to us nonstop, which is the best. I laugh every time someone sends us a, you think? No, duh. All right. Let's go quickly. I have a sorry, not sorry for our boy, J.J. Watt. He released his new shoe today, or yesterday, sorry. He released his new shoe yesterday, Hunt Greatness, and he gave some quotes, and I want to give you a quote, his sorry, not sorry quote. He says, I'm human. I let the negativity get to me every now and then, too, but every time that I do, I try to come back stronger, to come back more positive. You have to realize there's a whole generation of kids coming up behind us. If we let them see this negative, cynical side of us, they're going to think that's the way the world works, and they're going to continue to perpetuate that negativity. For me and this generation, we need positive. We need to be strong. It's actually not even a sorry, not sorry, but I didn't know what to put it under. But I have a question for you. Am I owed money from JJ? Because he said, I let the negativity get to me every now and then, but every time that I do, I try to come back stronger. So,
yeah, no, you're responsible directly for at least two of his Defensive Player of the Year awards.
And I'm steroids for J.J. Watt.
Basically, so I think that somebody out there should make some sort of app. I don't know if this is how apps work, but there should be an app where every J.J. Watt tweet that he posts, so an account should repost it, but just say like, hey, big cat. And then have the rest of J.J. Watt's tweets, because he's obviously directing them directly at you.
Right, right. So, and then Mike Florio, our friend of the program, got in a little tiff with him. And so that's how J.J.'s back in the news with all this, letting the negativity get to him for a second and then coming back stronger. I basically made J.J. Watt who he is today.
I like how he also blames all the negativity basically from people like us. He's blaming us for ruining the world for the next 500 years.
Yes, for the next generation.
We're gonna. Hey, JJ, there are millions of child soldiers over in Africa being forced to fight. How about them? How about you spend some time worrying about them instead of me calling you an idiot?
Yeah. Hey, JJ, you know, like most of Africa has to drink poop water and kids are dying from simple diarrhea. Yeah, but you're really upset that I trolled you once?
Hey, JJ, there are dogs out there that don't have any feet, and they're on commercials all the time, and it's really sad because they're sweet, and you're not doing anything about that, but you're mad at me because I made fun of your box jump.
Hey, JJ, literally hundreds of writers around the country get their flights delayed or canceled every single year, and you're worried because I call you a tryhard?
Hey, JJ, how about the police officers out there that are working hard to protect the children? That sometimes they arrest people. Is that police officers being negative? Are you sick of arrests and all the negativity out there? How about you respect law enforcement, JJ?
Hey, JJ, how about the guy in Cleveland who was so drunk and delirious that he ate poop because he thought it was a hot dog? Ever think about that guy?
Hey,
That should be our new segment. Hey, JJ.
Hey, JJ, there are professional athletes out there that are so afraid of getting the Zika virus that they're jerking off into plastic cups.
Yeah. Like freezing their sperm, JJ. Yeah, freezing it. They froze their sperm, bro.
Basically,
and you're worried.
Is you're the most selfish athlete on the planet Earth. That's what I've taken away from this.
Yeah, you're worried about our cynicism? Take a hike, dude. I have one more thing from JJ's quotes. He said, someone once told me that you become like the five people you hang out with most, so I try to surround myself with people who lift me up and build me up. At the same time, I have to be somebody else's five, so I need to lift people up around me up. Isn't that just T-Mobile's Fave Five?
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Like, you just described a cell phone plan. You used the motivational quote from a cell phone plan that Charles Barkley did a bunch of commercials in like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in your five.
My five?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're, like it or not, you're pretty much in J.J. Watt's circle. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
You're one of the five most influential people in his life, I think.
Yeah. He's got four positive guys, and then he's got me to get him negative. I'm like his, you know how when you lift, you're really actually tearing your muscles? I'm tearing his muscles, and then his other guys are the protein shakes.
Right.
JJ's friends are providing all the essential protein that JJ drinks every day.
It's like in college, you've got your position coaches, and their jobs like make you feel good, tell you how great you're doing out there, build yourself up. Then you've got the strength and conditioning coach, and his job is to beat your ass in the gym every day.
That's
and you
me.
Hate that guy, but guess what? 5 years later, that guy is the first one that's got your back. He's responsible for getting you where you are today.
Absolutely. So
selfish. I Watt, not JJ so, Watt. Me Watt.
So that was sorry, not sorry, but actually it wasn't. It was our new segment. Hey JJ.
Hey JJ.
All right, let's go to Jimbo's of the week. What do we got, Hank?
I fell asleep on the train, woke up with a huge drool stain on my tie.
That's not even a Jimbo. That's just water, man.
That's Monday.
Yeah. I drool a lot. That's probably not the – hey, guys, you think? Big Cat drools a lot.
I ate 2 burritos in 3 hours on Tuesday, started driving home from work, and threw up all over my car.
Yeah, that's a Jimbo.
That's – you're a child. You are a child. You don't know how to control how much to put in your body.
I hope that he was with somebody in the car. And they're like, dude, why are you puking while driving? He's like, I ate 2 giant burritos.
Sent my dad a happy birthday card instead of a happy Father's Day card. Clearly said happy birthday on the front.
Yeah, but you know what?
That's fine.
I think dads get that. Because, like, the dad, the chances of him actually reading that card in the first place, slim to none.
Oh,
like, dad gets the card and he might open it, he might not, but he's like, my son sent me a fucking card for Father's Day again. Thanks a lot. Throws in the trash. So you're probably home free.
Dads are guys, and people forget guys don't do emotion. So your dad doesn't give a fuck what it says on that card. He's probably actually like, fuck my stupid son. It's basically a daughter for saying that he loves me.
My pussy son sent me a card on Father's Day.
Yeah, what an asshole. So,
wait till the guys at the bar hear about this.
And then he farts. And then he kicks back his recliner, and his wife gets him a beer, and he cracks it open. Doesn't say thank you. Okay, next.
Was creeping on this girl on Facebook who I used to talk to. Accidentally tagged myself in a bikini pic from 2013.
Yeah, I think himself.
You know what? I'll say this. That is a really good, like, low-key way to say that you're interested in somebody. You're not putting yourself out there in front of everybody. Nobody else knows except for you and the girl in that picture. So, like, if she doesn't respond, then you just know it's a no.
You know what this might be? And this might be dating us. Hank, you might not even know this. This is an old-school poke.
Yeah.
Facebook poke. When you used to be able to poke girls on Facebook.
Hank, did you ever poke anybody?
Yeah, I came on the tail end of the poking.
Okay, so this is life hack, Facebook poking. know what it's like? It's like when they do Top Chef, and they're like, "We want you to make a hamburger, but deconstructed," and then you have to like do mashed up beef and a whole tomato, and you're like, "Look at this is my hamburger, but I broke it down." We just broke down the Facebook poke to an Instagram tagging yourself.
I was wondering where you're going to go with that.
I cleaned it up.
You brought it home. So that's good. Yeah, just you know, poke away by just tagging yourself. If you see a picture of a cute chick, maybe she's wearing a low-cut shirt at like her grandma's funeral or something like that, just tag yourself in that photo. And then if she doesn't get back to you, then it was never meant to be.
All right, last 2 days my AC wasn't working as it usually should. My apartment is hot. Called the facilities to come and take a look, and they realized my oven had been on 400 degrees for 24 hours.
Yeah.
You're just a moron.
Hank,
that's not even a Jimbo.
Yeah, if you're in a house where it's heating up to like 400 degrees and you haven't downloaded that fan onto your iPhone yet to cool yourself off, what kind of moron are you?
What an idiot.
I've got a Jimbo that got sent to me here. Okay. This is from John. I was out at a bar, got shit-faced, was texting this girl from a school 4 hours away from mine to come visit the next weekend and stay with me. I ended up starting to tell her what we would do when she got here. The next morning, I realized I sent all the texts begging her to come visit and talking dirty to my 12-person family group chat, including cousins, aunts, and uncles. So that's awkward. Hey, new segment for the show. Awkward.
That's one of those ones where you just say my phone was hacked.
Yeah.
Just do that. Just say your phone is hacked. Throw it down a well. Don't go online or your phone for like a year.
Or you say it was one of those online pranks where like you follow somebody online and they say, hey, everybody, text your mom, you know, this following sentence and then post a screen cap of their reaction. So just say like some dude on Twitter told me to do it. Boom. Problem solved.
Yep. Start forwarding them like a bunch of fake emails from Nigerian warlords and be like, yeah, every single piece of my – I got my identity stolen and look what happened.
Yeah, there you go. Problem solved. Not a Jimbo. My Jimbo of the week is attending a bachelor party, which I'm doing right now in Breckenridge, Colorado. And it's like 9,000 feet up here. And there are four flights of stairs. And if you climb one flight of stairs, you have to stop for about 30 seconds and catch your breath. And I'm doing a podcast in a state with legalized marijuana. And I'm on a bachelor party. And I'm not allowed to partake because Dan implemented a very strict no drunk podcasting rule on me.
We're like the Yankees.
Dan is like he is a taskmaster and he implements all these
Danny content
authoritarian rules on me. So my Jimbo is being on a bachelor party while everybody else is getting really drunk, and I couldn't because that's a sacrifice I'm making for you guys.
For everyone, for the listeners. My Jimbo of the week is when we were taping our Pardon My Take promo, our parody promo, which everyone should go watch. We did a Hollywood, just, you know, we're wearing suits, but we're also wearing shoes. So we're safe, but we're kind of badasses because it's like sneakers with suits. We did our promo, I believe, and it came to me like 10 hours later. I should have gone into a soccer bar because the lads were playing some footy and started an I Believe That We Will Win chant. So that was my Jimbo.
My Jimbo is that I booked a hotel for me and PFT in Chicago, and it said it would fit two people, but it was actually just a queen bed that was meant for a couple, so I had to sleep on the floor.
That's not true, Hank. I would have shared a queen bed with you. It was a full bed. So that's kind of the cutoff there.
Yeah, it was a full bed.
It's a lot of touching. It's a lot of touching.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for the week. We have, remember, tomorrow, our debut of It's Saturday, Let's Get Weird. It's a smaller podcast. It's only about 15 to 20 minutes long. It's totally different than what we do during the week. We're trying to try to keep it spicy, keep it different. Tomorrow, it's Blake Bortles and our Wikipedia Club. He joined us. It is phenomenal because it's four guys talking about a Wikipedia page that none of them actually read and all trying to bullshit each other and pretend that they read it. It's good stuff. So you're going to want to check it out.
And you're going to want to check it out because Blake, he gives us the suggestions for the next month's Wikipedia Club, and they are phenomenal suggestions.
Yes, and also there's an extra bonus. At the end of the episode, we sang a Harambe tribute song set to Bohemian Rhapsody. It's PFT, myself, and Hank. We all sing. Just do me a favor and listen to it. Subscribe and leave a review. We need more reviews. Let's keep climbing those charts. Thanks, everyone, so much. We will see you Saturday briefly and Monday.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.